DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Anton Savage Show Saturday
with Nifty Business on News Talk.
Counting has now started in the first of the two referendums because the people responsible for doing that counting are going to count one, get a result, and then move to the second. So we will know one relatively early on today and then the other. Hopefully, the smart money is suggesting we will know the other by sort of late afternoon, evening. Gavin Riley, as you would expect, him of Virgin Media and previously of this parish, has been tweeting coverage and summaries throughout, and Gavin tends to have his finger fairly squarely on the pulse. And the kind of thing that he has been saying is very strong no-no in working class areas of Dublin City, followed by Dublin Bay South boxes opened so far predominantly from Ringsend, working class parts of the constituency, family referendum basically 50-50 here. As a constituency, Dublin Bay South had the highest yes vote for repeal in 2018. So draw whatever inference from that you might. But then about half an hour ago, he has tweeted, "Given the uniformity of the vote across parts of Dublin City, I find it hard to see anything other than defeat for the CARE referendum." I'm joined by Senator Lorraine Clifford Lee from Fianna Fáil, and we'll speak to her in a second. Before that, Brenda Power, columnist with the Sunday Times and the Irish Daily Mail. Brenda, of course, one of the people who was vocal in support of a no-no vote. Is that the sound of champagne corks popping I hear, Brenda?
I don't know, Anton. I think it's far too early to call it. And to be honest, I'd still think yes might just shade it. I'm just like yourself, just sort of taking in the early results and looking at social media and so on, seeing the way the predictions are going. But I wouldn't call it yet. So no, I'm not popping any champagne corks yet.
What is your sense of it at this stage? Because one of the things, we're obviously getting texts and WhatsApps throughout the show, and it is interesting to see the massive spectrum of opinion. People saying they're confused, people saying they weren't a bit, they knew exactly what it was, people saying that they were no, yes, for the same reasons that other people are saying they were no, no, or yes, yes, and a relatively scattered turnout, it seems. Some areas with a very good, healthy turnout, some with almost nobody.
Yeah, I mean, I think it ranges from, well, so far as the headlines I've heard so far indicate, between 30 to about 50 in some areas. So that would suggest to me, with my poor maths, about an average of 40%. That'd be low enough, I think. Confusion, Anton, I think, seems to have been, by and large, the sort of general response, if you had to put one word on it, that people just weren't sure. And then you had sort of yes, no vote, yes, no, which order are we approaching them in? So, I mean, I think, by and large, people weren't convinced. At least the people that I was speaking to, and maybe I was meeting a particular type of attitude, that there was any great pressing social injustice that either of these referendums would address. And then they were very much taken by the advocacy of Senator Michael McDougall, by and large, to the effect that there was confusion ahead and possible legal and constitutional mayhem in relation to particularly durable relationships if you did vote a yes to that. And I think that has been more or less borne out, actually, by the advice of the Attorney General that had to be leaked and emerged yesterday morning, in which he's saying, well, look, you know, do expect that policymakers will have to take into account durable relationships when they're dealing with childcare, when they're dealing with surrogacy, where they're dealing with social welfare. And basically, there is no way of knowing how a court will interpret it. That's basically what Michael McDougall had been saying, and was being told, look, that's Project Fear, to reuse the old Brexit term, and don't listen to him. And it seems that he was correct about that.
Senator Lorraine Clifford Lee, to some extent, this is like Jack Charlton's style of football. If hoofing it up the pitch works, we will all forget about it by Monday and all will be well. If it doesn't, I suspect the question that a lot of people will be asking was, did the government completely make a hames of the two campaigns? Because Michael McDougall's name keeps coming up. And if you look in recent days at who appeared to be making the running, it seemed to be the no side.
Michael is a colleague of mine and I have the greatest respect for him, and he certainly put in a very good campaign. He had a number of op-eds that were widely shared and spoke very eloquently on the topic in the Shannon. But I think ultimately the people are sovereign. They will decide, and we might see one of the amendments passing today and another one failing. I don't know. Like Brenda said, it's very early days and it's too close to call at the moment. So I don't necessarily think it's a reflection on the government. I don't think it's a reflection on either side, but ultimately the people will decide. They'll
but
parse
if we look
that
at
information.
The polls, I mean, if we go back to 2 weeks ago, you had a 66% yes across both campaigns. Mm. The government, of course, because it calls the referendum, has the opportunity to get every last duck in a row before it sets off and gets going. And in the 2 weeks since then, we have arrived at a position where we have probably a 40% turnout and fairly significant confusion and no clear decisive move in either direction.
Well, I think it was an unprecedented move for the chairperson of the Electoral Commission to come out and say some of the referendum posters calling for a no-no were a factual misrepresentation of the position, and that was unprecedented. So a lot of confusion was caused by people who should know better, and I think we do have
to analyse.
As
in, you think some of the no campaign was willfully underhanded, is that it?
Well, that's what the chairperson of the Electoral Commission said. I'm not for 1 minute saying everybody was, but there were some people there that were misrepresenting the position. There was a lot of confusing posters put up around the city. I had people contact me. You know, that wasn't what was being said. And actually it prompted Ms. Justice Mary Baker to come out and make that statement, which I can't remember anything of the likes happening before. So I suppose we'll be analysing the results for days to come.
Okay, sorry, Brenda wanted to come in there.
Sorry,
go ahead, Brenda.
I just wanted to point out that Ms. Justice Mary Baker also pulled Catherine Martin up on making a false statement when she stated that the Constitution says a woman's place is in the home. So, I mean, for Lorraine to say it was unprecedented for her to say, to call somebody to account for statements made, it wasn't. She specifically corrected that false claim by Catherine Martin. And when Catherine Martin was asked if she would take down the tweet making the false claim, she said she wouldn't because she said, that's what some people feel that it means. I mean, that was totally misinformation is the best and kindest way to put it. And to say that the misinformation came only from the no side is simply wrong. And I mean, the posters that you're talking about said don't cancel women or don't take women out of the Constitution or whatever. I mean, that would have been...
one of the posters I saw said don't force women out to work. That was one of the posters.
Where there is a constitutional pledge. No.
And I think Brenda would agree with me that this article, like I'm a lawyer myself, I studied law many years ago, and it was always referred to the women in the home article. And that's the colloquial term for it. So I don't think Catherine Martin was incorrect in using that, because that's the way it's been said down through the years. Of course, it doesn't specifically say that. Of course, it doesn't specifically say that within the article.
Hang on, Brenda, we'll let you back in.
But it is known as that, and that's the way it was colloquially referred to.
Brenda, you can come back in there if you want to rebut that, because I then want to move on.
I was going to say, as a lawyer then, you know that precise language is important, and to try to tell people, look, this is what it means, it's not maybe what it says, was simply dishonest.
Now, let me ask you, Lorraine Cleverly, do you have any optimism in respect of what you're saying with the vote? Do you think there is a possibility you'll still get the yes? Because I have been slightly fatalistic in some of the questions that I've been putting to you, but of course we don't yet know. This could
be
a roaring...
We don't know, and I just even know yesterday evening when I was talking to people, I was out and about and picking my kids up from creche and a few different things. And I know people that they were saying to me, look, what way? I think yes is the right way to go on this. What do you think? And I said, well, look, I'm voting yes. Here are the reasons why. So I think people's minds were changed at the last moment. I don't know if that will be enough.
Let me give you a sense of some of the texts that are coming in. I live in Castleknock in Dublin. I didn't receive a referendum explanatory booklet. That, alongside experts with opposing views on the merits, was unhelpful. I voted no yesterday on the care amendment purely because governments have failed in its support for family, and the replacement wording allowed government to abdicate that duty completely. I was on my own in the voting station yesterday and voted yes, no. There was nothing confusing about the referendum, in my opinion. People just didn't properly inform themselves. Brenda, to that point, to what extent do you think that the sense that we're getting of how people voted, how much of that is that people were confused and disengaged, and how much of it was a ruthless clarity on the decision that they were making, or can we tell?
I would say that confusion played a part in it, certainly. And, you know, I mean, there's always the wisdom, well, if you don't know, vote no. And maybe people just decide, look, I don't know, maybe I'll just stay away. As I said, I mean, I think had people been convinced that there was some social injustice, as in, say, the abortion referendum, the same-sex marriage divorce, that was being addressed, that there were people who were genuinely being excluded or discriminated against in a tangible, palpable sense, that they would have been able to get to engage with it. But there wasn't really anything that you could see, that you could point to and say, okay, this will be better, this will be different. Whereas what we now know is that the Attorney General certainly is of the opinion that if durable relationships are enshrined in law on basically the same footing as marriage, that it could give rise to legal mayhem. He says he doesn't know how a court will interpret it. That's what he says. And that's what Michael McDougall has been saying. And when you have that sort of uncertainty balanced against not a very clear advantage to a yes vote, I think that possibly would have swayed some people either to vote no or just to stay away.
I'm joined, if you've just tuned in, by Brenda Power, columnist with the Sunday Times, who was just speaking there, and Senator Lorraine Clifford Lee from Fianna Fáil. Lorraine, you want to come back in?
Just on those two points made by Brenda there, the great pressing social injustice, while it mightn't be immediately obvious, we often talk about the childcare system in Ireland and how underdeveloped and underfunded it is compared with our European neighbours. And I often point to this article as maybe the reason why it has happened down through the years, that the state hasn't invested like other countries have. We've completely underdeveloped childcare model in this country. Now, a lot of investment
has gone in. But that connection doesn't seem to have been made in the ballot box.
Yeah, no, it hasn't been. And
are you disappointed by the turnout?
The turnout, look, some referendums do have low turnout. It's hard to get people as engaged, unlike the previous two referendums we had. So I don't know what the final turnout is.
Is that not a matter for government? I mean, where you say that people are not engaged, is that not a matter for government to judge? Does this matter to people? And if it doesn't innately, it is our job to show them why it matters, and a turnout is there for a criticism of
vote. Let's say the turnout is 40%. We well know that the electoral registers and constituencies are out of date. I come across that all the time. There are people who are dead or who have moved from their current address and they're registered someplace else and they haven't been taken off the old register. So it's not a great or an accurate reflection of
20-something percent, 30-something percent not showing up.
But could I go back to the point there about that Brenda made about giving rise to mayhem? The same was said about the divorce referendum in the past, and I was not of voting age then, but I remember the campaign very well, and that hasn't been the case. The courts always interpret certain provisions. The courts interpret legislation as well. For example, the guardianship, if you're an unmarried father and you wish to apply to the court for guardianship, the court itself will, on the facts of the case, interpret whether guardianship should be granted.
Let me go back to Brenda for a final word on that. That point then, Brenda, that any constitutional referendum, by virtue of the fact that it is constitutional and it sets an overarching tone for subsequent legislation and court decisions, they have to be decided by the courts.
But you see, we have no difficulty knowing what the word divorce meant, and we had no difficulty knowing what the word abortion meant or what the word same-sex marriage meant. We didn't have a difficulty with that. The problem with durable relationships is it has not been defined, and as the Attorney General has said, we wait to see what definitions may come. It has already come before the Supreme Court, by the way, in 2020, and in that case, they decided, for instance, that you couldn't put a minimum time span on a durable relationship, that people form durable relationships in very short periods of time. So, and I mean, I think the suggestion has been out there that maybe the Supreme Court will now come down next Monday and say, okay, let's decide what durable relationships are. Of course, that's not how it will happen. It will arise in cases of challenge or in cases of dispute. And in each individual case, the Supreme Court will have to look at the individual facts and say, well, you are in a durable relationship, you're not. And the definitions will be will develop and evolve over time. And so, you know, there's no certainty as to what durable relationships are. And if you look even at the Attorney General's letter, there was some confusion over whether they should add the word, the letter S, and talk about a durable relationship, which would be one type of relationship, or durable relationships, to give the possibility of very many different types of durable relationships. And they went with the latter. So, I mean, the possibility for confusion. And you see, because it is a written constitution and every word has been wrangled over in various legal jousts over the years, you know, there is no way you can say with any certainty what a durable relationship will be and what status it will have in law in future.
Brenda, thank you. Brenda Power, columnist with the Sunday Times and Irish Daily Mail. Likewise, thank you very much to Senator Lorraine Clifford Lee from Fianna Fáil. And I should be clear at this stage that we yet do not know. We could have a yes, yes, a yes, no, a no, yes, or a no, no. Tallies are only starting to come in, and we will bring you a bit of an update of them in a while. Interesting triplet of texts arriving in that sort of summarise the feel of this referendum. The confusion was caused by government with unclear and vague information combined with a lack of trust. Another then, I cannot vote yes to either of them for the very simple reason that I have no idea what wording or the implications of such wording will be. It's not good enough to say the courts will decide on issues as they will arise. Then another that says, I am a modern working woman who educated myself in the referendum. I voted no, and it is disingenuous to say that people who voted no voted that way because they read conspiracy theories. I voted no on both because I didn't agree with the wording on either change. And that's the sort of feedback that we are getting. Some saying they are confused, some saying they are absolutely clear. And across both, neither gives an indication of which way they might have voted. People are saying that's my reason for voting yes. People are saying that's my reason for voting no. But in often case, it's the same reason.
The Anton Savage Show, Saturday.
With Nifty Business.
Saturday morning at 9. On News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.